May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Wanted to have a conversation. It was interesting reading those passages and trying to imagine Martin Luther reading them for himself. And you can see they're just rich with the reality of grace. And for him to recognise that whole understanding that he needed to do things in order to get to heaven was just so wrong. And as he discovered that and was freed by that, he just had to tell people about it, and he could do no other. So I thought it'd be interesting to have a bit of a history time. I'd like you to start with what some of the things you know about the Reformation. I suspect some of you know more than others, but what's some things you know about the Reformation? 500 years ago, absolutely. On Tuesday, 500 years ago is the date that Martin Luther banged 95 theses on Wittenberg Castle. You're so right. What did he do? He banged, and what were those 95 things? List them in order, yeah. What did it start with? Four major reformers. Who were they? Calvin, Luther, Knox, and Zwingli. Yep. Zwingli, Switzerland. So in different parts of Europe and in England, and different things happening. And the whole politics of the area is pretty key to all this, because, I mean, we can say that it happened because God was moving in Martin Luther, but it was also happening because the society, all different things were culminating for this. So there was one really important thing that happened in that time. So we're talking about the 1500s, okay? So we've gone from the Middle Ages through the Renaissance, when people started to be educated, into this time. Mum? The printing press, Gutenberg, okay? So that was the invention of the printing press, and that was like Google. You know, that suddenly reached people in a whole different way. So for Martin Luther, whether or not he actually hammered them on the door, which historians would say probably didn't happen, there's no actual record, but although it's interesting to note that he was like professor of moral theology kind of stuff at the Wittenberg University. And the common thing in the university there, if you wanted a public debate on an issue, you would put it up on the door. So to put his 95 theses, this was his argument of why he, and do you know what he was arguing against? Indulgences, absolutely. The selling of indulgences. Who knows what the selling of indulgences were? Because this is key to the Reformation, guys. You need to know this. The way to get through purgatory. Yep, buy your way to heaven. Absolutely. But it was also, you've got to think, this was the time when the Pope Leo the whatever it is, he was there in Rome saying, I want a new St. Peter's Basilica. So the old one had gone to ruin, and he wanted the best basilica in the world, the most beautiful, the most ornate, and that costs big money. All right, so he sent his minions, his monks, out to the outlying areas like Germany to get money to build this cathedral, to build St. Peter's. So out went people like John Tetzel, which is what fled Luther. He heard this guy coming and saying, buy your indulgences, you'll get to heaven, pay the money, collect up the money, build the church back home. Because there you go. Did you hear that? So yeah, it was that whole idea that you put, and it came out of, it, I mean, like, it wasn't just negative. It came out of this recognition that good works were important, and that God honoured good works, and so acts of charity are important as a Christian. And so it came out of that good thing that was saying what we do is important and what we give. And so for something, for a church to be built, that's important, that's an act of charity. It then got distorted, as many things get distorted, because we humans distort things and are wanting to do things ourselves. And you can see how all that came together to make that happen. And so, you know, when people can't read the Bible for themselves, are told that they're going to hell, and know their own sinfulness, haven't been told about grace, then they're kind of in a pickle, aren't they? So they're going to pay to try and get there. And so it was a really harsh thing to do in lots of ways, and you can see why Luther got really upset with that. So it was interesting, but it also meant a whole lot of other things, because the elite, the princes of Germany, they were losing money that should have been local. So this money that should have been staying in Germany and being used in the local context was getting taken to Rome. So they got on board with Luther, not for any theological reason, but because they wanted the money to stay in Germany. So there was all this political stuff going on as well. And you can see why that would happen too. So amongst the printing press and the money stuff going on, and then in England, when it hits England, then it's the whole, you know, Henry and wanting to get divorced. And so he switches allegiance from the Catholic Church because they won't annul his marriage and let him get divorced and marry again. So he just switches and creates the Church of England so that he can be able to marry somebody else and, you know, kill another wife. as he kind of did. So you're starting to get the picture, like where Luther was coming from. So when Luther was then put, you know, his 95 theses out, and then it got printed and got sent around and everybody started talking about it, and you could see that that would upset the church. You know, that was pretty scary stuff. If people are going to start challenging their way of making money, that's pretty important that they'd want to kind of knock that on the head. And it was seen as heretical. So by 1521, so 1517 they'd written his thesis, by 1521 they had him at the Diet of Worms. And so Diet of Worms, it sounds really bad, doesn't it? He wasn't eating worms. A diet is a gathering of people, like a general assembly, like the church has a general assembly. So it's the big assembly, and it was in a place called Worms, so in Germany. And fortunately, Frederick, who was one of the princes in Germany, was a mate of Luther. He had set up the University of Wittenberg, and so he was not necessarily in agreement theologically, but he certainly wanted Luther to have his... Yeah, and he decided that it was really important to make sure Luther would be trialled in Germany, not in Rome, because if he was trialled in Rome, then that would be the end of him. So he managed to wangle it that he was trialled in Worms, which was pretty important. And he also, and so the heresy trial happened, and, you know, he's written like 20 books by this stage. So there's all this writing that they're putting in front of him going, do you really believe this? And he's going, well, this bit I wrote is really, really important, and this bit is, I'm kind of iffy about, you know, I'm not kind of going to put my life on the line for. And so, you know, when it came to the 95 Theses, he was like, can I go home and think about it? And so he went home that night, and he came back the next day, and that's when he supposedly said, here I stand, I can do no other. And certainly if it wasn't those words, that's basically what he did. He said, I've got to stand by what I've written. This is the word of God as I understand it, and I can do no other. And fortunately, because he was there in Germany, he was he wasn't just executed. And good old Frederick stepped in and kind of kidnapped him at that point as he was coming out and took him to his castle. So for the next year, he was in hiding, which is a bit Reuben likes, living in the castle. living there, and so he had this year of being in hiding, and good old Luther in good fashion decided that that year was a useful year, and he translated the New Testament into German in that year. So he was hard at work in the castle. You imagine, that's quite a job in a year. Can you imagine translating? Apparently that's, yeah. He was a scholar, no doubt about it. And so he was able to hide away and do that then. But, you know, he was in trouble and he did face a lot of trials. But then the culmination of what he so strongly believed and stood for were called the five solas, which in Latin is the alones. And I've got to get the wording right because my Latin, I failed school cert Latin, just saying. 49%, bit of a blow. Yeah, that's harsh, isn't it? Feel sorry for me. Sola scriptura, so by scripture alone. So he absolutely believed that the Bible was key to things. And you can see why he believed that, because that was so transformational for him. Then there was sola fide, by faith alone, because when he read Romans, he realized that it was the gift of faith alone. So faith alone in Jesus was what was going to save. And then sola gratia, which is by grace alone. You can see where he's going, that, you know, we are saved by grace and grace alone. And then solus Christus, by Christ alone. Christ alone is our Lord, our Saviour, our King. And soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. And he believed in the importance of worship and that we are to give glory to God alone. And it's interesting, when we look at our worship space, we still, as a Reformed church, recognise those five solas. So sola scripture, we have the pulpit and the lectern. The Bible is central to who we are as a Reformed people. And by faith alone, it's the communion table. It's who we are as people who eat the bread and drink the wine. And then there's grace, which is this place over here, where we are baptised, nothing that we do, but invited into God's family in baptism. And Christ alone, the cross up there, that is key to who we are. And the music, through grace, through the glory to God alone, of what we do there, what we do when we sing and give glory to God alone. So they're pretty key things of who we are as a Reformed people. And we need to remember that Reformation is an ongoing thing that we still need to question, to protest, to reform, as Luther taught us. So I've probably talked way too long. That's what happens when I don't follow a script. Let's sing. The church is one foundation.